That's like precious for Sharon. At this time, I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Brian Kay from Philadelphia.
My name is Brian. I'm an addict. And I thank God for being here. I want to thank my friend Keith. And Gail, we rode down here together. That's all I'm going to say about the ride. I'm going to just leave the ride alone. I want to thank all my friends. It's always, listen, it amazes me how people still want to hear what you have to say. Now, I'm a bum from North Philly who nobody wanted to listen to. You know, because I share this out of humility, because I have not gotten to a point where my head is filled up because of this. And I don't trip because of this. And when I come to carry a message, I come to carry my truth. I'm not here to bedazzle anyone with my oratory skills or my larynetical abilities. I know verbally I can kick it with the best in this arena and in another arena. But when I stand in front of my family, I come to report. I don't have a whole lot of time to be making up nothing classical and clever so you can go buy a CD and share it with your sponsees. I'm still trying to figure out how, after 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, why am I still trifling? I be trying to figure out, you ever just be surprised at some of the ignorant moves that you still make in recovery? Positions that you find. I mean, I could share a good 7-step, but sometimes you just need to talk about some of the area. I mean, hey, man, you don't humbly. Most times, I can't remember the last time I humbly asked God anything, because I done already made the move, and by the time I get to him, it's shamefully guilt-filled and painfully asking God to remove. How come after 24 years clean, I'm still not completely comfortable with who I am? Why do I still allow low self-esteem to rob me of spiritual benefits? Why do I feel like it's better for me to go mess with Lala around the corner? That's her real name, Lala. And that's what I be singing, Lala. I be having to get myself together. I really do. Now, I ain't mess with La La in a minute, but I had, because I'm not man enough for a real woman, you know, I'd rather mess with some girls, not chronologically, But there's a whole lot of girls dressed in women's clothing here. So why am I afraid? Because that's what I'm looking at, shortcomings within myself. Why am I afraid to be with somebody that's on my level? Because then I might have to give you all. And giving somebody all is a very fearful spot to be in sometimes, especially after numerous painful experiences. And then when I find somebody who just wants to tolerate me in my totality, yeah, you know, I got to pay the government back $170,000-something, so every once in a while I'm going to throw a word out there that shows I got a fucking education. I owe them people a lot of money. I use a couple words and stuff, you know. It become a little regular part of my vocabulary now. I got to pay them people back. I'm working on my second master's degree. But even with all that I am and all that I've accomplished, there's something in me that the text says cries out for failure. And if I don't have the relationship that I have with God, I would be in serious trouble. And it's not the fact that I love him. It's the fact that he loves me. Because there are times when I don't love me, love or like him, love or like you. And we talk about grace, but there's something called his prevenient grace. And that's grace that's bestowed upon people who are not paying no attention to him, but he's constantly paying attention to you. And he's always had his hands on me for some reason. I don't care how bad it get. Austin, for some reason, you ever be in situations where you're just, you know you headed for danger. You know she poisonous. No, she look good. She look all right. But it's danger. And something always comes up to block the danger. Now, when I first got clean, I'd be wondering how come I'd be having these feelings that I... Because I'd be talking to my sponsor, Harold. I don't know why he got those sunglasses on. I was trying to figure that out the whole time I've been sitting here. I hope you don't speak in those tonight. Either you up to something or you hiding from somebody. And black people think if you put on sunglasses, it changes your whole, what you look like. Everybody knows that you have. But I was telling Dr. Hal, man, and I was telling him about a situation where somebody has been a female and she has been, been nice to me, helping me out. I've been going through some really financial, this whole last 4 months, if it wasn't for the fellowship, I'd be homeless. I put it that way. That's all you need to know about the situation. But there's a sister that's helping me. Now, I don't like her like that. Listen to what I'm saying. I don't like her like that. And the more she kept doing stuff, giving me money and going shopping, food shopping, all this. So I had to call Hal. I say, Hal, I think I might need to talk to her about something. Because I don't know what the motive is. I don't know. Y'all leave me alone, man. No, So he said, why don't you call her and ask her? I said, no, she get $100. She say she gonna give me $100 in food stamps. I'm not gonna ask her now. I don't want to know right now. I want to wait till I get the stamps. And so he say, well, you gotta talk to her, you know, about. And then after the stamps, she say, listen, you know, I got $100 for you, cash. I say, I don't want to bring up the discussion. But now the whole time, on the inside, I'm feeling bad because I don't want to be taking advantage of nobody. So there's this battle on the inside and my outside, whether to go ahead on and, you know, let her be nice. Because, you know, I don't want to stop her blessings by blessing me. So I ain't got the heart. No, I ain't got the heart to pick up the phone to say nothing. So she eventually called me, and she said, "Listen, I gotta confess and admit something to you." She said, "Like I've been liking you for like 15 years." Now, I don't say nothing. Because now I don't want to mess up the stamps and the cash. But I don't want her to keep doing stuff with hopes that something might happen. And so, like, what I do is I always take the coward way out of anything, even in relationships. I just won't call. Because I ain't got it in me to tell you the truth. Like, I don't like you like that, and then I wonder, you know, what you might think or what you might say at another meeting about me when you find out I don't like you like that, and then you go sharing, well, I bought that motherfucker all this food and gave all this motherfucker money. Broke ass nigga. I was trying to help his broke ass. Now he was shining front on me and all this old stuff there. And I know that's how y'all get. I know. Talk about, oh. But the thing was, for me to even, that was something that I wouldn't even talk about to nobody at one point. I would just drain you dry, because my history and relationships show that I was a straight up leech. And I would try to suck all the blood out of you that I could. And when your usefulness was done, then I leech onto somebody else that was unsuspecting. And a lot of times it was this stuff here that put me in position to latch on to you. Because you hear the way we share, but you don't see the fucking way that we live. You get caught up in all these convention speakers and all this, that, and if you really look at some of us, there is a trail of destruction behind us. Just sharing my story. I don't want nobody else to get mad. Y'all go on and share your ass off. But I'm tired. I've been by myself, Austin. And I'm by myself because I don't know how to be with nobody. You understand what I'm saying? You really don't. I don't know how to be with nobody. It could be all right for a little bit, but then something just start happening. Like you talking too much. That just mess up the whole relationship. Why you gotta keep talking? And I don't know how to compromise. See, those are my shortcomings. If my demands aren't met, then it's not worth me being involved in it. And if I can't get what I want when I want it, when I want it, then I'll go get it where I have to get it until you're ready to give it to me. So God says, sit still and be by yourself. And I've been by myself for a couple of years. And I used to think that I was working on some stuff until I meet somebody. And then I realized I ain't worked on nothing the whole time I've been by myself. Because I'm still falling short all over the place. I'm still copping out of stuff. I'm still immature and I still have a boyhood mentality. If we get into an argument, that means you don't like me forevermore. Listen to what I'm saying. And then I'll try to do whatever I can do to try to make it right. She started talking about relationships and stuff. I was up here, I was like, damn, why she had to talk about that? Because I don't fall short in too many other areas, or my issues are not in any other areas but sex. I got a whole lot of other stuff going on in my life, and God got me. But it's this area. When I've been out of work for 2 years, and I was sharing somewhere, maybe here last year when I was here with my brother Kenny Ali, I love him, miss him to death, may he rest in peace, and Anna Marie, because we did the HAL meeting last year here. And I was just talking about, I done forgot what I was talking about. I was talking about sex. Now, see, when I started talking about Kenny, he brought some serenity into my life. Thank you, brother. Now, but I was talking about how not working gives you a free 8 hours of your mind not being occupied. Because most people go to work, and for 8 hours, if they're doing their job and not on Facebook, they're occupied. But when you're not working and you're sitting in the house all day, your mind is going all over the place. So I'm in the house and I'm saying, you know, I'm going to go to the meeting down on such and such, because they got a lot of recovery house people there. And, you know, I know if I share some stuff there, I know at least one of the recovery house women might like me. Because, again, I'm not man enough for somebody here. And I had to share stuff like that with people, and they tell me, Brian, stop going to the meetings with the recovery house people. Because I don't care how long you've been clean. If low self-esteem and opportunity meet up at the same time, you could find yourself falling short. So what I've learned about humbly asking God to remove is to remove myself from situations where the defects and shortcomings will most likely flare up. He's not going to remove anything if I keep putting myself in those positions. Because it says the main objective of the seventh step is to get outside of ourselves to achieve the will of our higher power. So the more I'm trying to achieve his will, the more less likely it is for me to fall short, because his will and my will are polar opposites. So if I'm walking in the direction that he wants me to walk in, then my trifleness decreases. It's when I sit around by myself, unsupervised in my head, and not reaching out and telling nobody anything, because sometimes I'm just embarrassed to tell you about my thinking. Too embarrassed. Because we got too many people in here who are so judgmental. Not because I have 24 years clean, but because I'm an associate minister at the biggest church in Philadelphia. So they throw that in my face. Like I still am not diagnosed with the same disease I was diagnosed with March 10th, 1988. It ain't go nowhere, Tanya, because I got a robe and collar. It show up in the pulpit. I could be up there. Looking straight at titties. I'm looking right at her. Well, motherfucker. It don't. It don't go nowhere. It don't go nowhere. Some of y'all, hey, listen, you need to get in touch with what we're afflicted with. Cunning, powerful, baffling, insidious. And you thinking you're making all these major spiritual moves. And it just slow walk you. Because you become so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. How could he do this? How could she do that? And then a year later, you find yourself sucking a dick under a bridge in a car. I never would do that. Keep playing with the disease of addiction and see what happened to you. So I stay on top of that. I know what's in here. And I pick up the phone. I call Harold. I pick up the phone. I talk to Keith. And I let him know what's going on with me, because it's more crucial now in my life than it has ever been. My life is good right now despite what I don't have, Robert. Money and all. I ain't got all that stuff no more. I told you, I'm coming down here. And they was like, you coming out? Listen, I ain't got it. Because how about when you have to humbly ask people? How about when you got to humbly ask people to help you? When you're a prideful person. When you're a person that's egotistical at times. When you're a person that has never really been in a position in your life where you had to ask for help. When you've been working since the day you got clean. When you were able to buy whatever you wanted to buy all these years. I got gators and flavors, colors like now laters. I got all kinds of suits, had all the diamonds. I never thought in the world, I never thought that one day that shit would crash. And most of the time it crashed because of my arrogance. Because when I'm working on a job, if I think I know more than you, I'm going to fucking let you know I know more than you. Whether you my supervisor, director, executive, or whoever, I cannot just keep my mouth shut. How you gonna tell me something? And I suffered. And then for the last 4 months, you know, you cool with unemployment flowing. But eventually they say, hey, no more extensions. Obama can't save you this time. Because you, when you're unemployment, you be praying for Obama. Come on, Obama. Get it signed, Obama. Talk to him, Obama. Hook it up, baby. He said, I can't help you no more, Brian. And then you ain't got nothing, Jimmy. And then you just make one phone call. And they make a 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 phone call. And I'm still with money, Robert, and all my bills paid. Sometimes I sit on the side of my bed and I just cry about his move in my life. My sponsor already told me, he said, Brian, your real job is not where you working anyway. He say, God is not having you do what you do for you to keep making guest appearances. And that's when I preach at other people's churches. He said, that's not your job. He's not training you for guest appearances. He's training you for your own. But you got to be tested in the fire. And can you still say God is good when you ain't got as much as you say he's good when you do have? And my friends know I don't complain about nothing. When I found out in February they froze and seized my bank account, I called Keith. I said, Keith, I'm about ready to drive my car into a building. Now, that sounds funny, but when they take all your money, that shit ain't funny. And the thought of driving my car into a building and trying to kill as many people as I could flashed through my mind. But then I picked up the phone. And he said, get up here, I got a couple dollars for you. Okay, shit, I won't kill nobody. All right. I got the North Philly and record time from downtown. And from then on, man, people have just been blessing me and blessing me and blessing me. And they bless me because the changes that I've made in my life. Now, sometimes I like to share about the trifleness so the newcomer can understand, like, you still going to have work no matter how long you be here. And when you listen to perfect recovery addicts, get away from them because they lying to you. Everybody in here got something to work on. And we need to stop judging each other because, especially defects, because we're all defective. You know, so what, so-and-so a hoe? You a liar. So what, I cursed 7 times today. You cheated on your wife. All of us got something to work on. And what hurts my heart is we come up in this camp and we just be up in here slandering each other. I ain't really got time with all I want to do, Thomas, is just live my, I just want to make it from morning to noon, from noon to night. If I can make it from my morning prayer to my night prayer and then my many prayers in between. If I could just get up and put my feet on the floor. Every day I wake up, I say, God is not finished with me yet. I don't care who you doing, who you screwing, what's good. I'm not even, and Dennis, a lot of people be, that's what messes me up, Keith and Gail, since we rode together. People be saying I got all these women, and you know how, I got to get rid of a lot of movies because I'm not trying to mess with a whole lot of women. I be messing with myself more than I mess with other women. I done got to a point where I might just stay to myself. But I don't be bothering nobody because I don't want to lie to nobody, want to hurt nobody, deceive nobody. But I don't want to do that either because you can get kind of comfortable being with yourself. And you get all creative when you're with yourself. You start squeezing your own ass when you're with yourself. Thanks for that, Michelle.
Can we close the meeting with the Serenity Prayer, please? God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.